Welcome back to Orange High School, 50th year of Orange High School football, and the Red Wolves marching band on the field, entertaining at halftime. And this has been deja vu all over again for Chris Casey's Red Wolves. They were able to take their first possession on a short field and drive down the field after Tay Jones put the ball on the turf on the first play from scrimmage running left for the Orange Panthers. Peyton Pappas able to manage that drive. 8 plays, 27 yards, put it in the end zone. Red Wolves up 7-0. Looked like they had some momentum built, but just too many assets for this Orange offense. Their front line just too big, too fast for the Red Wolves defensive and defensive secondary. And then when you get running backs like Patrick Pettiford and Tay Jones, making these runs and having plenty of space to do it in, and you force your linebackers to make these tackles. Like, it doesn't matter if you're in the NFL, you're playing in the ACC, or right here in the newly minted North Carolina Big 8 3A Conference, you're going to get hurt. And that's what's happened. Is Pettiford and Tay Jones have had outstanding first half, ripping off multiple carries of more than 10 yards and quite a few of more than 20. Peyton Pappas has had his troubles. We'll take a look at his stats shortly. As Pappas has thrown 2 interceptions, has not been able to find Chris McCoy, his favorite receiver, as they have shut him down. As a matter of fact, McCoy, with only 2 receptions for the whole night, the most impressive throw that Peyton Pappas has made was to Matt Murty, and it was his first throw of the game on just the second play from scrimmage, where Murty did a little pump and go to get behind the defender, and it was Pappas hitting him on a nice little timing route. But outside of that, it has been all Panthers. The first drive for the Red Wolves stalled, but the first time they were able to get the ball in Panthers territory, again at the 27-yard line after the fumble by Tay Jones, they were able to bring it right in and score it 7-0. Red Wolves statistics. Peyton Pappas, 4 of 10 for 7 total yards. Four of 10 for 41 total yards. He has also been sacked for a number of times. Pappas has been sacked 5 times. And he's been sacked actually for 9, 10, 10, 5, and 4 yards. So Pappas had himself a rough time. And those certainly will go against his rushing statistics, but they do not go against his passing statistics. Otherwise, it would be ugly. So again, Pappas 4 of 10 for 41 yards. He ran for a touchdown and has thrown 2 interceptions. Those 2 interceptions, one of them was a little scary. Had some hand fighting with his receiver Marquez Hunter deep in the secondary, and A.J. Bradshaw ripped one off and brought it back to the 40-yard line, that to set up from 36 yards out, set up the Panthers' third score. And then when he got the ball back deep in his own territory at the 24-yard line, he threw one out into the flat. It was intended for Marquez Hunter, and Hunter had that pass taken away from him by Bryce Wilson. I mean, Hunter is out there at 5'9", 5'10". Bryce Wilson at 6'1". He just went up and got it and brought it back to the 11-yard line, where just one play later, Garrett Clower was able to take it in from 11 yards to make the score 27-7. And then just recently, when the Panthers were the recipient of a punt, got the ball on the short field, and took it right in. And the final play there was a six-yard dart after the running of Tay Jones and Patrick Pettiford, a six-yard dart to Artrell Stewart to make the score 34-7. As we continue to tally up the statistics, and they are a little ugly for the Red Wolves, and mighty positive, especially on the ground, for the Orange Panthers. We're going to take a two-minute break, and we'll be back with more statistics and analysis. We're at halftime of the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. It's 34-7 in favor of the Panthers.
Many people who switch their car insurance to GEICO for the savings end up staying for the excellent customer service. That's why GEICO works very hard to make sure every customer is satisfied. In fact, GEICO's customer satisfaction is 97%. And the 3% who aren't satisfied? Well, there's just no pleasing some people. But we're working on it.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
UNC Family Medicine is proud to announce the grand opening of a new Saturday morning sports injury clinic to treat your acute injuries. UNC Family Medicine will treat everything from casting to ultrasounds to x-rays, as well as provide surgical consults and concussion evaluations. And you can walk in without an appointment from 8 to 10 a.m. The Saturday morning sports clinic at UNC Family Medicine. Find out more at uncfamilymedicine.org. Just another way that UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Most of us don't get to work at home in our PJs. If traffic and a commute are part of your daily routine, let us make that part of your day a little more enjoyable. Stop by Cruisers and enjoy a fresh brewed coffee and fresh baked biscuit in the morning, or a refreshing fountain drink with chewy ice, a hot dog, or a snack to end your day. Cruisers has four commuter-friendly area locations at Chapel Hill North, Glen Lennox, Powell Place, and Briar Chapel.
Cruisers. Good to go.
Listen up, Carolina fans. Go for the goal line this season into Fitch Lumber and Hardware. Don't fumble with the never-ending home projects. Whether you're an experienced contractor or a novice do-it-yourselfer, get your jobs done right the first time with the guidance of our knowledgeable staff with decades of experience passed down from generation to generation. So come see us in Carver at 309 North Greensboro Street or call us at 919-942-3153. Check us out online at fitchlumber.com. Go Heels.
Basketball and the Big Apple, what more could you want? Well, with the Continental Tire Basketball and Big Apple giveaway presented by Seagrove's Insurance, you'll get that plus much more. How about a trip for two to New York City to watch the Tar Heels play in the Hall of Fame Tip-Off Classic? There are 38 sponsor locations around town for you to submit an entry to, including Lloyd Tire and Alignment and Atlantic Tire, Cary, Durham, and Raleigh, Seagrove's Nationwide Insurance, Best Tile Durham, and Cameron's. We're drawing finalists from each location every week for the next 4 weeks. You can also become a finalist by calling into the WCHL morning, afternoon, and evening news every weekday by submitting an entry online at chapelboro.com or on Chapelboro's Facebook page. Remember, you can enter via every entry method in every sponsor location once each week, including Carolina 1663, Carboro Family Medicine, Central Dermatology, and Dickie's Barbecue Pit. So make sure you're one of our finalists for the Continental Tire Basketball and Big Apple Giveaway, presented by Seagrove's Nationwide Insurance.
Just what you want when you're on the road, down 34-7, an extended halftime. Not quite what the Red Wolves are looking for as they take a break underneath the goalpost. Offensive, defensive units split out, talking to the coaching staff. And Chris Casey finds himself in a very familiar position, talking about mistakes and missed opportunities and lack of execution after a good start by this Red Wolves team. Put them up 7-0 in the first quarter. They were the beneficiary of a turnover. They played some hard-nosed defense. They've been able to mix the run and the pass very well. Peyton Pappas had been protected, and he had been able to take these Red Wolves down the field. Been able to take the Red Wolves down the field and bring them to a 7-0 score. Talk about efficiency. Garrett Clower, 4 of 4 for 90 yards. plus a touchdown. And then ran one in for 11 yards. When the ball has been on the ground, again, the time of possession for the Orange Panthers will be entirely misleading. Last week against Northern, Northern had the ball 53 minutes. The Panthers had it 15, and they threw 50-plus up on the board at them. They're headed for that today, and they have had the ball not very long at all, multiple possessions, but they've struck like lightning. Tate Jones started the game off with a fumble, but he has five carries for 60 yards, including runs of 20, 22, and 13. Patrick Pettiford has been fairly impressive as well. He's been able to find the edge a number of times and has seven carries for 75 yards. And Pettiford has scored a couple of touchdowns himself. Archel Stewart, the recipient of Garrett Clower's only touchdown pass, and that's where we sit at 34-7. About 5 minutes until we resume here at Orange High School, and once again, it's the Panthers on top. In case you're wondering where the standings sit in the Big 8 football standings, Orange comes in, of course, at 6-0 overall, 2-0 in the newly formed North Carolina 3A Big 8 football standings. Southern right behind them at 2-0, along with Cardinal Gibbons at 2-0. Cardinal Gibbons and Southern locked up in a battle tonight. We'll bring you the score of that one as soon as it's available. Southern at 4-2, Cardinal Gibbons at 5-1. Two high-powered offensive units to go with Orange. Then, believe it or not, in fourth place is Northwood at 1-1, absorbing that beating at home at the hands of the Panthers. Their only loss of the season and only loss in conference. The top four teams have scored, Orange has scored 97, but the top four teams close to 100 or over. Southern has racked up a gaudy 121, Cardinal Gibbons at 102, Northwood at 100. And the top two teams, Orange and Southern, you know, games are won by offense, championships are won by defense. Orange has only given up 21 points this season. Southern has given up 26, excuse me, Orange now given up 28 with the touchdown to the Red Wolves today. The bottom half of the bracket is headlined by Chapel Hill. They are 2-4 and 1-1. Chapel Hill absorbing a beating at the hands of Southern last week, turnover prone, and were able to defeat Webb in another turnover battle. Chapel Hill kind of upside down in the points for and points against after the drubbing they took against Southern. They have scored 58 points and given up 90. And then, of course, the three winless teams at the bottom of the division are Webb, Northern Vance, and Cedar Ridge, all at 0-2. But Webb at 2-4 has gathered two victories, and Northern Vance and Cedar Ridge yet to get off the schneid at 0-6. The biggest problem for Cedar Ridge has just been the turnovers and errors. They've given up 257 points this season, 72 of those, of course, against Northwood. Northern Vance, their record shows them at six losses and just ahead of Northern Vance, but Cedar Ridge is a better team than Northern Vance, and Cedar Ridge is going to get a chance to prove that here shortly. Quarterback Peyton Pappas, once again, for the Red Wolves, started off well, acquitted himself nicely here in the first quarter, managed the first offensive drive that stalled. They gave the ball back to the Panthers. Panthers fumbled. Tay Jones put the ball on the grass in his first carry, gave the ball right back to Peyton Pappas on a short field. 27 yards later, in eight plays, he was able to punch into the end zone with a three-yard keeper. And that right there was the highlight for the Red Wolves as they went up 7-0 and then gave up 34 straight. Pappas, 4 of 10 for 41 yards, a touchdown and two interceptions. Those two interceptions came late, but the most distressing thing for Chris Casey's offensive unit has been their inability to protect Pappas in the second quarter. When your quarterback is in the shotgun and your offensive line has taken a five-step drop back to him, that is no way to protect your quarterback, and he has found himself on the ground. As a matter of fact, Pappas has been sacked five times for loss of 41 yards in five sacks, and that's just no way to operate your offense. Julius Walton has done his best to try and keep this train on the track. Now, Walton's runs on first down have been positive yards on all but one play for the Red Wolves. He's nine carries for 27 yards. The big man. Walton is the only runner that has been able to mount any kind of an offensive for the Red Wolves. Matt Murtry was the recipient of one 29-yard pass to open the game. Then Marquez Hunter has been the target multiple times for Pettiford. When he's not run out of the backfield, just four for 17 yards, he has been able to catch three balls, two of Peyton Pops' four completions from out of the backfield. We're 1 minute from the teams re-entering the field after a lengthy halftime. You're listening to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. Paul Connell on the sideline here at Orange High School, where the Red Wolves are down 34-7, and we'll see if they can come scratching and clawing back in the second half. We're going to take a one-minute break, and then we hope you'll come back and join us.
This is Kit Ballou of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin, and we're still here. The last few years have been, shall we say, a challenge, but honestly, this year has been a turnaround, not just for us, but for the real estate market in general. Don't get me wrong, this is still a tough environment for housing.
It is, but our agents really know what they're doing. They have the resources they need, they persevere, and they're not afraid to tell you the truth. Our reputation for having a long-term perspective and a dogged commitment to getting the job done keeps us ranked among the top 20 firms in the Triangle.
And among the very top in Chapel Hill. We often tell you what to do, how we do it, and why you should call us if you need a realtor. We want to introduce you to the rest of Franklin Street Realty.
Go to franklinstreetrealty.com, look for houses, and check out our agents. You'll find former restaurateurs, teachers, counselors, tennis players, even a midwife. You might be surprised at who we are or were.
Franklin Street Realty at 929-7174. Why would you call anyone else?
Welcome back to WCHL. You're tuned to the High School Football Game of the Week on WCHL 97.9 FM. Paul Connell sideline here at Orange High School in their 50th season. And celebrating that 50th season with a 6-0 mark to start this North Carolina 3A Big 8 Conference. 4-0 in non-conference play. Two conference wins, and on their way to number three here with a 34-7 lead over the Red Wolves, who have not been so fortunate. Not been that fortunate at all this season. And once again, the Red Wolves really thought they were going to be the upset kings this year. Started out with a strong first half against Carrboro in the opener, and then dropped that one 36-19. And then a trio of heartbreakers to Southern Vance, East Chapel Hill, and Riverside by margins of 5, 3, and 7 points. Then, of course, a pair of blowouts in which they were able to manage 28 points against Cardinal Gibbons and 28 points against Northwood. But, unfortunately, they gave up 56 and 79 against the Crusaders and the Chargers. And just absolutely overmatched there, as they are here against Orange. Red Wolves hoping to come out, have some defensive good fortune as they did in the first half, and then perhaps stick one in the end zone and start to make this a game in the second half. The third quarter for the Orange Panthers has been a strong, strong quarter for them. They have averaged more than two scores in the second and third quarter each time this year, putting up an average of 16.2 in the second and 14.3 in the second and third quarters of the contest this year. They've pulled the chute and scored under five in the fourth, but that's with a lot of substitutes. The third quarter has been the weakest point. First and third quarter has been the weakest point for Cedar Ridge. Already they've doubled up their average in the first quarter by putting a seven on the board and going up 7-0. But just 3.5 points in the third quarter as this team has come out slow, perhaps hanging their head after having some of these first-half difficulties. And Chris Casey will do his best not to allow that to happen this time. Orange already on the field. Red Wolves have broken their team huddle as the men in stripes head back to the field. They had a busy first half. There were multiple penalties. They certainly let them play in the secondary as there were a couple of potential pass interferences calls that they let play. And then some personal fouls, pushes in the back, and a couple of face masks by the Red Wolves, all flagged. So the game did start to get chippy as the Red Wolves became a little more frustrated there in the second quarter. Let's hope that they're able to put a damper on that, come out and play a quality second half of football. Ready to start the third 12-minute frame here at Orange High School. 34-7 in favor of Orange. Patrick Pettiford will be back deep to receive. Back deep to receive will be Patrick Pettiford. Southern Durham 24-7 over Cardinal Gibbons. That's the report we have here from the press box. And Southern Durham, my goodness, that offense is rolling. We look forward to seeing Orange against Southern Durham later in the year. Here's a short pop-up kickoff from Brandon Ferris, taken at the 35, fielded cleanly. That's Garrett Clower. Then you wonder what your quarterback's doing up there as an up man. He's part of the hands team. With his hands, I'd keep them protected, keep that junior on the sideline, get a freshman out there receiving these kicks. 34-7. Whoop. 34-7. And the referees have now gathered both teams at the 35-yard line, have a little chat. They notice that this game got chippy toward the end of the second quarter. They are now warning both teams, keep your hands away from face mask, keep the mouths closed, doesn't need to be any talking. You got two good football teams out here. Let's play a clean game of football. Let's enjoy this night, and let's play like we're supposed to. Let's play like both coaches expect you to play. Referee's going to break this one up, and it will be first down and 10 for the Panthers on the 35-yard line, their own 35-yard line, as the officials now heading over to the Orange sideline to chat with Pat Moser. Pat Moser just kind of wants to know what was said in that huddle. Pat seems satisfied. Referees head back to the field. And we are ready to start it up. Once again, 34-7 here at the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. Had some high-scoring battles over the last 3 weeks. Fortunately, none of them have been close. Orange over Northwood. Northwood drubbing the Red Wolves. And now here Orange beating up on Cedar Ridge. Tay Jones is coming off the field, coming off slowly. He may have had an equipment issue that will force him out to stay out one play, as I know he had an equipment issue on that kickoff. Here's Clower, and for the first time, Orange to come out in the power eye. LeMaster up front. LeMaster, second man through, takes the pitch, 10, 15, 16, close to 20 yards. LeMaster with a 19-yard run on first down. 19-yard run on first down, gets the ball to the 46-yard line. And with this running game, you'll see for the Panthers, thunder absolutely follows lightning. The lightning of Tay Jones and Patrick Pettiford, you'll see them early. And then when that defensive front four or five is worn down, you get LeMaster and Michael Bolden. at a combined 4.25. Pettiford, screen pass, right side, complete at the 45-yard line, pushes out to the 40, across the 35-yard line to the 33, and it will be a gain of 14 yards, 14 yards on the pass, and another first down for Garrett Clower. This keeps up. We very well may see Josh Keel play against his old mates. Keel was the second string quarterback for the Red Wolves last season. Practiced for a week with the Red Wolves this year and said, now I'm going to go to Orange and play a little baseball and be the backup quarterback for the Orange Panthers.
First and 10 for the Panthers.
Garrett Clower under center, out of the power eye once again. Bolden, fake the handoff to him. Clower going to keep it himself. 30, 25, running room, 20, 15, stiff arm, close to the 10. He'll get inside the 10, right at the 10-yard line, and it will be a first down as another great run from the 32-yard line, 33-yard line, rather, to the 10. So a 23-yard carry for Garrett Clower, and it's another first down for the Panthers. Three plays, three first downs, and they have taken the ball 55 of the 65 yards they need to get there. Clower under center once again. Bolden, first man through. Clower, Pettiford, right side, screen pass. Touchdown, Patrick Pettiford. Pettiford in for a 10-yard score. Talk about efficiency. There is a flag on the play. We will see what the call is, but Clower notches his second touchdown pass. This one, a 10-yard screen pass. Patrick Pettiford rambles in from 10 yards, and it's a 10-yard pass for touchdown from Garrett Clower. There'll be a personal foul against the Red Wolves. It'll be roughing the passer, and the penalty will be marked off on the kickoff. Brad Barbie on to try the extra point. This will be his sixth. And he is 5 of 6. Missed his third one, been good the rest of the way. And Brad Barbie makes it 41-7 in favor of the Panthers as they go 75 yards in four plays. Two runs, two passes, capped off by a 10-yard pass to Patrick Pettiford to make the margin 41-7. And the Red Wolves, any hope they had of starting the second half with a bit of momentum, has gone right down the drain in four plays in 1 minute and 24 seconds. And now adding insult to injury once again, Brad Barbie get a chance to kick off here from the 45-yard line of the Red Wolves as 15 yards is marked off on the roughing the passer call when Clower hit Pettiford with that 10-yard pass. He was roughed up by the defense of the Red Wolves. 15-yard unsportsmanlike roughing the passer penalty marked off on the kickoff. Barbie's got to have designs on putting this one through the uprights. He's been able to put it into the end zone. May take a big whack at this one. He does. It's going to be into the end zone easily, about 8 yards deep, and it will be the Red Wolves taking a shot at this one. Under a dusty half moon on a beautiful night for football here at Orange High School, the Panthers showing why they are 6-0. And while Southern Durham whoops up on Cardinal Gibbons at last check, they're up, I believe, 34-17. Orange keeping pace here at 41-7. We're going to have another chat here between both these teams. Warning issued to both teams, especially now after the Red Wolves had the unsportsmanlike penalty for unsportsmanlike penalty, the roughing the passer. 10:35 remaining to play here in the third quarter. 41-7 in favor of the Panthers as they are looking to move to 7-0. Chris Casey's Red Wolves still looking for an answer. And now, again, in the second half of a ballgame, playing for pride as the last three have been disastrous results in the second half. Here's Patrick Pettiford. Handoff goes straight away. It'll be Julius Walton. Walton stuffed up at the line. No gain. There's a flag on the play. He was met at the line by Jake Frederick. Frederick at 6'1", 305. Frederick in there with Byron Stevenson at 6'3", 260. Shamel Corbett at 6'2", 330. Some big ticket protein in there for that front line of the Panthers. And they are mobile as well as big. They've been able to give Patrick Pettiford a lot of trouble here since the second quarter. Pettiford, short drop, almost picked off. The tip drill works. And Marquez Hunter, the recipient of this one, going to be a 9-yard completion. Well, I'll tell you, slapping his hands there, Nick Schultz, 5'11", senior linebacker. He thought he had a pick six, and before he could tuck it away, it went through both hands, touched all 10 fingers, and Marquez Hunter, laying on his back, capture that one. It's a 10-yard completion and a first down. 10-yard completion and a first down for Peyton Pappas. Pappas, screen pass now out to the left side, intended for Marquez Hunter. Hunter cannot run into this one. It's a little strong from Peyton Pappas, and there's a flag after the play as Marquez Hunter, and the man who was guarding him, that's Brandon Van Hook, got together at the end of that play. Van Hook and Marquez Hunter, and Van Hook and some of the receivers for the Red Wolves, notably Julius Walton, they've been tangled up a couple of times. In fact, the biggest penalty that occurred on the Panthers' end was when Julius Walton did a little pump and go during that touchdown drive for the Red Wolves. And fainted and faked out. And he just reached out and grabbed Julius Walton. And they finally called a 15-yard pass interference play. So now the referee's talking this one over. We've had two conferences, one at the beginning of the half and one just moments ago. And now the referee, actually the line judge, is going to come over and he's going to talk to Pat Moser. He's going to pick his flag up. Referee's going to mark this one off against Orange. Looks to be a personal foul. It will only be 5 yards. So it's, and then the signal we're getting, and we're sorry it's so confusing here, but the officials have not been very clear in their communication. 9:18 remaining to play here in the third quarter. Listen to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. 41-7 in favor of the Orange Panthers. Once again, Red Wolves jumped up top 7-0, and it's 41 unanswered points by the Panthers. As they have had no answer. The Red Wolves have had no answer for Garrett Clower, Patrick Pettiford, Tay Jones. And this high-octane offense that the Panthers have been sporting. So now 5-yard penalty. No indication from the officials. 5-yard penalty makes it 2nd and 5. Took place after the play. Pass, left side, got a man. Murtry picked off, tip drill. Orange has another interception. Out there and being opportunistic, staying with the ball. For the Panthers was A.J. Bradshaw. Bradshaw picks up his 2nd interception of the night. This one cannot be laid at the feet of Peyton Pappas. Pappas with a beautiful ball over the shoulder of Matt Murtry. Murtry, 35 yards downfield, catches it over the shoulder and just doesn't tuck it away. A.J. Bradshaw there takes it right away from him, rips it off his numbers, and it's an interception once again for Peyton Pappas. Pappas intercepted for the third time tonight, and Orange will have the ball on their own 38-yard line, or 33-yard line, rather. 11-yard gain on first down. The big man running that one, his first carry from Michael Bolden. Bolden ahead for 11 yards. Bolden at 6'1", 250. He can put the hurt on you. He's the single setback now. Tay Jones and Patrick Pettiford in the slot right and left. One wide left, one wide right. Pitch play, right side. Patrick Pettiford finds the edge, gets to midfield, pushed out of bounds at the 48-yard line. Flag is down once again. And they're actually going to say he tightroped the sidelines and was finally pushed out of bounds. Still, once again, no clear indication from the official, as it looks like it doesn't matter. They're going to run this one back. So a beautiful run by Patrick Pettiford on the pitch goes for naught. And that play will be erased. It'll be a 10-yard penalty for holding, as it looked like the offensive end, the tight end for the Panthers, guilty of that one. Like offensive lineman Zach Wagoner, 6'2", 265 junior. He reached out and got a handful of somebody's jersey there, right in the middle, protecting his quarterback. And it'll be first down and 20 now from back at the 35-yard line. Handoff, Tay Jones. Lots of running room. Two guys to meet at the 50. Cuts back midfield. They're not going to get him. A 65-yard touchdown sprint for Tay Jones. Starts out outside. Marquez Hunter had the angle on him at the hash mark at the 30. He made a sharp cut at the 25 to the right hash from the right sideline and just danced in from there. A 65-yard run from scrimmage on second and 20, and Tay Jones goes in untouched to make the score 47-7 in favor of the Panthers. We have got some offense on the board tonight, and it's all in Orange. Timeout now taken by Orange, and as they take this timeout, we'll take a timeout with them. 30-second break. You listen to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. 8:09 remaining to play in the third quarter. Panthers up 47-7.
Because Susan switched to Geico and saved hundreds of dollars on car insurance, her retirement account wants to bake her a chocolate cake. But it can't. It's a retirement account. It doesn't have the upper body strength to lift a cake pan into an oven. Switch to Geico, and every time you see the savings, you'll know your retirement account wants to bake you a chocolate cake. But remember, it can't. It's a retirement account. It is, however, happy that you're saving money.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
After three straight losses, good news from Carrboro High School is the Jaguars up on Bartlett-Yancey, 14-7 at the half. Jason Tudor rallying those troops, and he needs to. Without the offensive firepower, Trey Sharp in the backfield and Marlon Johnson out wide. Echo. 8:09 remaining to play here in this one in the third quarter, and it is an interminable length as Orange now lines up for the two-point conversion, and then Clower backs up and takes a knee. So at 47-7, and I believe I believe what it is if you're up by a certain amount, the opposing coach is allowed to request a running clock. And it may have been just a one-point difference. I'm not quite sure why anybody would do that. 8:07 remaining, 8:09 remaining to play here in the third quarter. And Pat Moser has his quarterback take a knee.
Back deep for the Red Wolves, we have Walton Hunter at number 36.
Pat Moser apparently wants his troops to get in some work here. A little gamesmanship going on. Either that or he wants to send a message to Southern Durham. But not the best communication by the officials today. And that has been a frustration for both coaches. As we see Brad Barbie, he'll kick this one off. Marquez Hunter at the 5. Hunter at the 5 to the 10, now the 15. Stays in between the hash marks to the 20, now to the 22-yard line. He's swarmed under by a number of tacklers. Down there to get him first would be Nick Schultz. Schultz and Bryce Wilson team up high and low. And it will be the Red Wolves coming out at their own 21-yard line now as Peyton Pappas will start again. 79 yards from a better feeling than he's had since the first quarter. Pappas had a rough day. Handoff once again, first down, straight ahead, Julius Walton. Walton has been able to pick up 2, 3, gut it out, and at least make a good accounting of himself on first down thus far. Walton at 5'7", 155. Not a lot of protein in the backfield here for the Red Wolves. Very surprised that we have not seen Ben Rice. Rice plays fullback along with playing linebacker. And it's 6'2", 188, and he's got some speed. He can actually punish some people. 3-yard carry for Julius Walton. Brings up second down and 7. Fake the inside handoff. Do a little cross buck. Right tackle. Julius Walton breaks free. Cross the 30 to the 35-yard line. It'll be a 10-yard gain. 10-yard gain for Julius Walton. That's a little misdirection there. Little crossbuck comes off off tackle right. And Julius Walton with a 10-yard gain. Certainly his best of the second half, perhaps his best of the game. First and 10 now at the 35-yard line. Give it to Walton once again. Walton skitters ahead, moves the pile here. 155 yards of Walton. He is all heart. 5 yards. Let's just give him 4 and bring up second down and 6. That's what they're looking for Walton on that first run from scrimmage. Ball be dead at the 40-yard line. 6:39 remaining to play and counting. 47-7 in favor of the Panthers. Once again, Red Wolves jumped out 7-0 and then gave up 47 unanswered. Peyton Pappas intercepted 3 times. Going to keep it on the ground here. Walton will take the carry once again. He's going to pick up about 3. See how friendly the mark is. It's a pretty friendly mark, and then he'll make it 3rd down and 4. Just inside of 4, call it a long 3. Just over 6 minutes remaining to play here in the third quarter. And it has been a long, long game. Nothing longer than it is to be Peyton Pappas out there with an offensive line that is overmatched in the weight category and taking the drop back to him when he's taking this shotgun snap. Snap, Julius Walton, handoff, right side. Walton going to have himself another first down. Walton with a nice gain here. This one will go for 7 yards. Let's give him 7 yards as they mark him just shy of midfield at the 49. And now they're going to give him a friendlier spot, say that he was able to stay in bounds and get to midfield. So 8 yards for Walton. So Walton trying to do it with his legs, covered up with both feet, with both hands. Whoop. Here's a high snap, broken play. Peyton Pappas going to have to take it himself. He's just going to run it straight out of bounds. Sophomore looks there and says, I'll just take it out of bounds. And there's a flag on the play, some extracurricular activity. And it looked as though James Fowler was over there and was a little frustrated by the late play of Nick Schultz. So Schultz and Fowler, two pretty big bodies over there. It's going to be an unsportsmanlike penalty, and it's going to go against the Red Wolves. As Fowler, with a little shuck of Nick Schultz at the end of that play. And if they keep this up, we very well may see an ejection. Both teams have been warned. The officials are having none of this extracurricular activity. In fact, they're over there talking to Chris Casey right now. So it'll be a loss of three. It will be 15 yards from the spot of the foul. And now it appears as though they're going to call these offsetting. So they're actually going to call it on Fowler and Schultz. It will be offsetting personal fouls on Schultz and on Fowler. This is the second time that we've had this tonight. And it will actually allow Peyton Pappas a two-yard respite from that carry that he just made there. So Pappas' carry does not count, and it brings up second down and 12. Pappas hands off the ball to Ben Rice. Ben Rice, at 6'2", 188 pounds, gets his first carry of the game. And the big fullback will take two and get it back to the original line of scrimmage. And that will make it two-yard carry for Ben Rice. Brings up third down and 10 from midfield. Right back where they started about three plays ago. Five of the box. Pappas ready to throw. Steps up, flag down, has a man open, and throws over the head of Marquez Hunter at the 23-yard line. Hunter was on the fly pattern, and it looked also that three times tonight Pappas has thrown balls that are deep and has really thrown them high enough to bring rain. I don't know if they've slipped out of his hand, if he's having trouble gripping the ball tonight or not. But the penalty now penalty flag on the ground. It'll be against the Red Wolves, and it's third and 10 right now, and we will see what the defensive unit decides to do. That pass was incomplete, once again intended for Marquez Hunter. Hunter has been open on occasion, and Pappas has just not been able to get him the ball. Outstanding coverage. Going to be a chop block. Block in the back below the waist on the Red Wolves, and it will be declined, and Brandon Ferris will come on to punt this one away. Back at his 35, a little pressure, nice kick by Ferris, lofts this one up high. J.D. Brooks there to take a look at it, and he'll get away from it. It'll be down at the 24-yard line. James Fowler came running down the field. To touch that one down for the Red Wolves. And right in front of the referee at the 24-yard line, he kicks the ball 3 yards. Then looks at the referee. The referee gives him the palms up like, really? At 47-7 with this going on, really? This is what you're taught? I know that Chris Casey is waiting over for you. Why don't you go talk to him? Chris Casey, I'm sure, will have plenty of words for Mr. Fowler, and none of them will be polite. Ball down at the 19-yard line. Plenty of new folks in the ball game here for the Panthers. Derek Boone seeing his first time at receiver. Garrett Clower. Clower still in the game. Handoff goes right side to LeMaster. LeMaster drags a few tacklers, and the 5'8", 175-pound sophomore scratches and claws ahead for a good five. And that's a 5-yard carry for LeMaster. LeMaster with two carries for 24 yards here in the second half. Again, you'd expect the Panthers to have the ball more for the amount of scoring that they've done, but they're incredibly efficient on offense. Their last scoring drive was 65 yards on one play, and then prior to that was four plays to go 65 yards. Clower finds Kai Muller in the screen at the 25, across the 30 to the 35. Finally pulled down at about the 37-yard line. And that pass play good for a first down. It will go call it 15 yards. Excuse me, we'll call that 12 yards on the pass play. And it gives the Panthers a first down at their own 37-yard line. 47-7 the score here. The Red Wolves came in here hoping for upset, and it hasn't turned into anything but that. 3 minutes remaining to play in the third quarter. Pitch, right side, Kai Muller. Muller with his first carry of the night from out of the wing. He's going to pick up 14 yards. Kai Muller, with his first carry, will pick up 14 yards. And another first down. Now into Red Wolves territory at the 48-yard line. They are absolutely spreading the wealth here at Orange High School. New receiver in the game, Landon Wheeler, 6'2" junior, finds himself wide to the near side. Mark Holt into the game in the slot, right side. Clower pitched to Muller, left side. Muller's second carry. He'll just get back to the line of scrimmage, as that one was very, very, very slow to develop. Ben Rice out there to make the tackle in the backfield. Julius Walton comes over to help him out. And it will be Muller with a loss of one on that. Short of the line of scrimmage. In fact, they're just going to get him to the line of scrimmage. We'll give him a big fat zero on that one. 150 and counting. Holt in the slot. The soda machine in the slot. Going to block for the other big man, Bolden. Bolden, rumbling, tumbling. Earl Campbell-like over the 35. Tumbles over the 30. Bolden moves the chains from the 50-yard line to the 27. Be a pickup of 23 yards for Michael Bolden. Bolden running behind the block of Holt. Let me tell you, if you're a linebacker for the Red Wolves and you see 215 of Mark Holt followed by 250 of Bolden, you're going to get out of the way, or at least try and take a wheel out. That's 465 pounds of offense coming at you there in the space of two people. 1 minute remaining to play in the third quarter. Clover going to back up, throw left. Oh, and so close. Julius Walton had his eyes on that one. Almost stepped in front and had himself a pick six down the other end. Colby Scott was out there, and the 5'10 junior looked a little confused on that screen pass. Didn't really understand that if somebody throws you a screen pass, especially one like that, you got to come back to it, help your quarterback out. Clock stops at 59.5 seconds remaining, 47-7. Panthers in charge, ready to go to 7-0. Overall, 3-0. In North Carolina 3A, Big 8 conference play. Single setback now will be Holt. Mark Holt, 5'6", 215, a junior. Single running back. Give it to Holt. Goes to the first side, right side. Buries the first tackler. He absolutely runs over the first man to hit him. Trying to remember his name is Gabe Little. Little at 5'9", 195. Plowed under by Holt. Holt picks up six on the play. And it'll be third down and four. Under 30 seconds remaining to play here in the third quarter. Holt now line up in the slot on the left side. Cannot begin to describe the shape of Holt. Garrett Clower, back up, pass, right side, complete, touchdown. Touchdown, a 23-yard touchdown pass from Garrett Clower. His recipient this time, Jeffrey Campbell. Campbell, who has spent the majority of his time today covering kickoffs, catches a 22-yard strike, another slant from Garrett Clower. Clower throws his third touchdown pass. This one, once again, from 22 yards. 22 yards on the score. And Clower has been outstanding this evening. Under 10 seconds remaining to play. and a new quarterback in the game for the Panthers, Bryce Wilson. And instead of kicking the extra point, Bryce Wilson will take a knee. And, you know, I have to give credit where credit's due here. This is not Pat Moser digging it in on anybody. It's not him trying to keep the opposing coach from doing the running clock. This is Pat Moser saying, look, we're just running our offense. And when we score, we score. But as a nod and a courtesy to Chris Casey and this Red Wolves team, he is declining to kick the extra point. If I'm reading it correctly, it's a real class move by Pat Moser to just take a knee and said, we're not going to dig even one more in there. We understand that we've outmatched you guys. We're scoring. We're not going to take the extra point. Here's Barbie. Kickoff bounces at the 9. Marquez Hunter takes it at the 10 to the 20. Stopped at the 25. Hit hard at the 25 and knocked down. Coming up to make the tackle, that'll be Brandon Van Hook, the senior linebacker. Runs up to chase down Marquez Hunter. And Marquez Hunter will bring the offensive unit back onto the field under the leadership of Peyton Pappas, Julius Walton in the backfield. And they will have first and 10 at the 25 now. 2.5 seconds remaining to play here in the third quarter. We will change sides after this play as Pappas hoping for a good first down run. It goes to Julius Walton as it has on every other run. Walton with a good running room here. Twist, turns at the 30. Tries to get some extra yardage at the 35, and he puts the ball on the ground. Hit as he spins, and oh my goodness. Guess who comes up with a fumble? A.J. Bradshaw. He's got a fumble to go with those bookend interceptions to put up on his trophy case. A beautiful run of 12 yards on first down by Julius Walton. And as he spun at the 35, he was hit, the ball on the turf, and A.J. Bradshaw gets his third turnover of the evening, two interceptions, and now a fumble recovery. Nothing going right for the Red Wolves. 53-7, ready to start the final 12-minute stanza. Going to take a 60-second break. We'll be back to finish out the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. 53-7, Orange on top, headed to 7-0.
Mark Vitale's All About Insurance Agency has taken care of families and businesses in Chapel Hill since 1993. All About Insurance carries every line of insurance you and your family would need. Auto, home, renters, commercial insurance for businesses large and small, life insurance and 401k plans, plus health care insurance. In fact, All About Insurance carries the absolute lowest rates for new young drivers. So call AAI today at 919-933-4000 or go online at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
Hello, Tar Heel fans. This is Brian Pop, owner and operator of Landscape Logic. Fall seeding is around the corner. Having a nice lawn is not a product of good luck. It's an absolute science. At Landscape Logic, we are qualified and committed to giving you the direction and care you need to be successful and protect your economic and aesthetic investment. Ask about our aftercare programs, weekly maintenance programs, and references in your neighborhood. Visit us online at LandscapeLogicNC.com.
Landscape Logic is the logical choice for all your landscape needs.
You're listening to High School Football on 97.9 FM WCHL. Follow your area teams all season long on your news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Thanks for coming back. You missed the switch of sides and not much more, as it is just more of the same. Michael Bolden getting a workout here. 6'1", 250. Junior rolls ahead for 9 yards on first down. Stopped at the line of scrimmage on second down, and now third down and one as Orange breaks the huddle. You don't see either one of these teams go to the huddle much. New quarterback in the game is Josh Keel. Josh Keel, very familiar with these Red Wolves. He went to school with them for first 2 years of his high school career. Pitch goes to Holt. Left side, the soda machine. over the 25 to the 21. Gain of 8 from Holt. He rumbles and tumbles to the 21-yard line. Picks up 8 yards. And Holt, at 5'6", 215, he's remarkably agile, finding the corner there for the big man.
Holt marked down at the 21-yard line. It'll be first and 10.
10:40 remaining to play in this game. 53-7. Last checked. Carborough up on Bartlett Yancey, 14-7 at the half. Josh Keel, handoff, right side, goes to Holt. Holt trying to get back to the original line of scrimmage. A little trouble on that handoff. And Ben Rice, a nice job with the penetration there. Also helping him out. Brad Buddington, 5'10", 170-pound senior. Actually, going to give him a loss of 1. Bring up second down and 11 now for the Panthers on the Red Wolves 22. Keel will operate out of the eye now. One in the slot to the left-hand side. He'll throw the screen pass, and he overthrows the man in the slot. That was Dwayne Watkins. Watkins at 6'3". I don't know how you overthrow him, but he does, especially from 6 feet away. Keel overthrows him. He's going to go over and talk to Pat Moser. Moser's going to go, look, settle down, run this offense. It's third down and 11. Might let Keel drop back and see if he can sport that arm that the Red Wolves would really have liked to have this year. Once again, Keel worked out a week with the Cedar Ridge football team. Went to Coach Casey and said, I'm going to Orange. Going to go play a little baseball. College, you'd have to sit out a year, not in high school. Pitch, right side, Bolden. He's going to get back to the 20-yard line. Gain of 2, Ben Rice there to knock him down. And Ben Rice, just he does the yeoman's work on tackles for this Red Wolves team. You will find him all over the field as he pulls down Bolden once again. And now it's 4th and 10 from the 20-yard line. And
we're
going to see what the Panthers have in store here. You'd like to think they'd reward Brad Barbie, give him a shot at a field goal from 37. But nope, they're going to line up in the eye. Keel's going to go back, runs the slant, and the pass is intended on the play for Landon Wheeler, 6'2" junior. Wheeler split two defenders. And it looked as though back there to in the coverage and guilty of an infraction is the secondary. In the secondary for the Red Wolves. It looks like Dante Scott is going to get flagged with some interference here. He was back there with Chris McCoy. And Dante Scott will be flagged for interference, and that's going to keep this drive alive for the Panthers and give them a first down, first and goal at the 10-yard line. Once again from out of the power eye with Watkins in the slot. Goes to Holt, right side, rumbling, bumbling. He's going to walk into the end zone. He's going to run over three defenders and then stroll into the end zone. Bringing to mind Robert Newhouse. The Rhino, Mark Holt. 5'6", 215. Rewarded for his strong play on defense. Put him in on offense. Runs out of the fullback position. Capitalizes with a 10-yard run. 10-yard touchdown run. To put the Panthers up 59-7. Once again, Panthers kneel on the extra point. Score stays at 59-7. And with 8:49 remaining to play here in this contest, the Red Wolves find themselves on the end of another lopsided score. Going to take a 30-second break. We'll be back with the final 9 minutes of this one. You're listening to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. 59-7 in favor of the Panthers. We're going to keep it right here. 8:49 remaining to play here in the fourth period. 59-7 in favor of the Panthers. Brad Barbie ready to tee it up again. He has spent the whole day teeing it up. He's going to have to go home and ice down that left leg. Barbie with a short kick goes to the up man. Murchie fumbles it, gathers it up at the 29. Orange on it, two players, and the Panthers say they have it. They do have it again. And Matt Murchie has gone down, has jammed his knee into the turf. Murchie caught that ball chest high, fumbled it, fumbled the ball, and then Murchie tried to claim it, and as he went down toward the 30-yard line, he jammed his knee into the turf and then had two or three Orange players fall on him, and they were able to capture the ball. So another turnover for the Panthers. And it will give the ball another turnover in favor of the Panthers. It will give Orange the ball at the 29-yard line with 8:44 remaining to play in this contest. And Orange up 59-7 and headed to their seventh victory. Matt Murchie able to shake off that knee problem and trot over to the sideline. That was a little scary there, as he is one of the three main offensive weapons for Peyton Pappas in this Red Wolves offensive unit. To see him go down would be another devastating blow. Referee's trying to fire this one back up. Again, it's like four guys that just met on the bus on the way over here.
We've got Josh Keel at quarterback.
Josh Keel will return as quarterback for the Panthers, engineering a touchdown drive in his previous appearance. Keel now at 8:26 and running. He'll hand off to LeMaster. LeMaster out of the backfield. Big man turns the corner, puts the ball on the turf. Red Wolves think they have it. Grab from the back. LeMaster spun around. Ball hits the turf, and the Red Wolves come up with the fumble. Little turnabout here as the Red Wolves defense, opportunistic as LeMaster, tries to turn the corner. Cannot get his body squared to the end zone. And that is, let me tell you, that is no easy feat. Because LeMaster, Drew LeMaster, at 5'8", 175. He's a tough runner. But if he doesn't get his shoulders and hips squared to the end zone, he's easily turned. He gets turned there, spun around, and the ball is fumbled. And it will be Red Wolves ball on their own 15-yard line. So LeMaster gets credit for an 8-yard run, gets an 8-yard run, and then a fumble. LeMaster's had three runs for 32 yards, and then unfortunately the last one for him ends up on a fumble. Back out come the Red Wolves. First and 10 from the 15. 8 minutes and the clock continues to run. Not fast enough. Inside handoff goes to Marquez Hunter. Hunter would like to throw it. Stops. Halfback pass. Throws this one up. Oh, my goodness. Intercepted once again. I don't have to tell you who. You just have to guess. It's going to be A.J. Brasher. Brasher's got the hat trick. Halfback option pass by Marquez Hunter. You could see it coming a mile away. He really just should have tucked it under and come across the line of scrimmage, but he threw a jump ball out there for Chris McCoy. It was 7 yards shy of McCoy, and Brasher, A.J. Brasher, comes up with his third interception of the evening. He may take that one home with him. He's also recovered a fumble. Brasher has been a one-man wrecking crew, opportunistic back there for the Panthers' defense. Panthers aren't trying, but they're still going to pack it on here. Just run the offense. Josh Keel, handoff, Bolden, left side, hit in the backfield, spins ahead, cross the line of scrimmage. You're not going to stop him with just one guy. Ben Rice met him in the backfield along with Scott.
Bolden makes his way to the 20.
Bolden still picks up three. Make it second down and seven. Keel over to talk to Pat Moser, and then we'll come back and join the huddle. 6:50 and counting here in the final frame at Orange High School. 6:45, 59-7. Dwayne Watkins, slot left. Receivers to the left and right. Keel will run out of the eye. Here's Holt, left side, has room. Cross the 25 to the 20. Runs over another tackler. I tell you, he's just looking for people to hit. Holt is absolutely just looking for people to hit. He knows that nobody can stand up to him. And now we're going to see, it's going to be a penalty. It's going to be a block below the waist against the Panthers. And, you know, when a game gets like this at 59-7 and you get some substitutions into the game and maybe things get chippy, the last thing you want to see is fundamentally unsound football. Or you want to see guys taking shots at each other or doing things that can conceivably get somebody hurt. That was one of those things right there. As a chop block below the waist against the Panthers. That will be 15 from the spot, which was 3 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. So the run for Holt goes for naught, and it'll be a 15-yard penalty that gives Keel now the ball in his own 42, or the Red Wolves 42, second down and 22 yards for the Panthers. 5:55 remaining to play, handoff, first man through, Michael Bolden, right side. Finally knocked down after a gain of about five there to make the tackle for Cedar Ridge, coming up from the linebacker spot. Les Boldick, 5 foot, 200-pound senior. Boldick saw that one on the previous play. I'll tell you what, the guy that just doesn't want anything else from Holt is Elijah Richardson. Richardson at 5'6", 140. Looked like he was bringing a Brahma bull to the ground when Holt came at him. Holt out of the power eye. Great anticipation there. Outstanding anticipation of the snap by the up man on the blitz, Brad Buddington. Buddington comes blowing in past the center, grabs Josh Keel, throws Keel for a 4-yard loss.
Hey, we'd like to give a big shout out to Aaron Wilkins.
4-yard loss, and it brings up fourth down and 20. So fourth down and 20, 4:35 remaining to play in this one. Panthers out of the eye once again. Out of the eye on fourth and 20. Keel. Pitch, left side, Holt, little running room, finds the edge of the 40 to the 35, turns up, 30, still on his feet, wants to get to the original line of scrimmage, does, and picks up five more. Holt with 15 yards on fourth down. My goodness, they hadn't shot a missile at him there, knocked him down, he'd have gone for the first down. Holt comes off with a big smile on his face, as well he should. That young man has played hard on defense. Fires it up on offense with a 15-yard carry on fourth down for Mark Holt. Holt played linebacker for most of the game and has had multiple runs here in the second half. Holt had a touchdown as well.
Illegal motion against.
Turning the ball over on downs, and with the ball at the 25-yard line, Peyton Pappas. new quarterback in the game. Now for the Red Wolves. Handoff goes left side. And after a 5-yard illegal procedure, they'll lose five more on the handoff. It's in the backfield will be Scott for Cedar Ridge.
Chick-fil-A sandwich is on sale right now for $3. Get them while they're hot. Tell them Nick Mincy sent you.
New quarterback in the game. Isaiah Brown calling the signals. Hand off to Scott. Scott will gain about four on that one. Pick up what he lost. So a loss of four by Scott and then a gain of four by Scott. As Isaiah Brown getting mop-up duty here for Peyton Pappas, now facing third down and 15. 2:30 and counting, 59-7 in favor of the Orange Panthers.
The Orange JV Panthers will be traveling over to Cedar Ridge to take on the Red Wolves. Game time, 12 o'clock. We'd love to see a full stadium there as well. Come out and support the JV Panthers.
Brown calling out the signals, third and 15. Facing four in the box. Handoff goes to Scott. Right side, same play. They run it three times in a row. This one will pick up three. Progress to fourth down and 12. So a gain of three by Scott. And at 150 remaining to play in this one. On three carries, Scott has picked up a total of 4 yards.
Fourth down for the Red Wolves. Malik Jimenez back deep for the Panthers.
New return man, Malik Jimenez, into return for the Panthers, back at his own 42. Brandon Ferris standing at his 10. He'll get no pressure on this one. Nice kick, and Ramirez would have a chance to return this one. He just can't really chase it down. Bounces at the 36, or 46, across the 45. It will be touchdown at the 40-yard line, where once again the Panthers will take control. 110 remaining to play. 110 remaining to play here in the game, and we're going to start adding up our statistics so we can bring them to you right away. We will not have an opportunity to interview either coach after the game. As 1 minute left in this one, we'll bring you a quick wrap-up. And then, of course, don't forget the Merritt's double. Last time we checked at half, it was 14-7, Carborough over Bartlett Yancey, as the Jaguars trying to come off a three-game skid. That game started 1/2 hour after this one. So if you check at chapelboro.com to the Merritt's double, you can catch that game as well. 30 seconds left in this one. Josh Keel takes a knee and will run this one out. We have come to the end of another disappointing performance by the Red Wolves, marred by penalties, some missed opportunities, turnovers, and an exceptional high-powered offensive unit. The third one in a row. Northwood, Cardinal Gibbons, and now Orange, putting a hurting on this Red Wolves unit. 59-7, your final score. We'll come back with final stats and a quick wrap. You're listening to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. Panthers go to 7-0. Red Wolves fall to 0-7. 59-7 here in Hillsboro.
Mark Vitale's All About Insurance Agency has taken care of families and businesses in Chapel Hill since 1993. All About Insurance carries every line of insurance you and your family would need. Auto, home, renters, commercial insurance for businesses large and small, life insurance and 401k plans, plus health care insurance. In fact, All About Insurance carries the absolute lowest rates for new young drivers. So call AAI today at 919-933-4000 or go online at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
UNC Family Medicine is proud to announce the grand opening of a new Saturday morning sports injury clinic to treat your acute injuries. UNC Family Medicine will treat everything from casting to ultrasounds to x-rays, as well as provide surgical consults and concussion evaluations. And you can walk in without an appointment from 8 to 10 a.m. The Saturday morning sports clinic at UNC Family Medicine. Find out more at uncfamilymedicine.org. Just another way that UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
Will you be our neighbor? If you or someone you know is moving or building a home in Chapel Hill, Harrington Bank is your first stop in financing your new dream home. Harrington Bank offers competitive rates and products for construction loans, renovation loans, home equity loans, and refinancing options. Let's be neighbors and give us a call today. Harrington Bank is conveniently located at Southern Village, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
Update from Carrboro. You want to switch over there on chapelboro.com and check out the Merritts double. 20-7 in favor of the Jaguars as they look to be ending that three-game skid. Jason Tudrin firing up the troops in the home game against Bartlett Yancey, that conference foe, and they will stop that slide. It appears that they can just hold on to that 20-7 lead. It was 14-7 at the half. Here it has been Garrett Clower. Clower running an efficient offense, a dangerous offense here for the Orange Panthers. And it was Garrett Clower. Only threw the ball eight times. Completed all eight attempts. 171 yards, three touchdowns, not intercepted, and was able to find three different receivers in the end zone, all three on slant patterns. When they went to the run, they were very effective. Once again, Patrick Pettiford, a number of runs, they really evened it up nicely as Patrick Pettiford had seven runs for 75 yards. Michael Bolden, four for 42. It was Drew LeMaster, three runs for 32 yards. That also included a fumble. Drew Holt had himself five carries for 33 yards and a touchdown. And Kai Muller actually got into the action, two carries for 14 yards. For Peyton Pappas, he was 5 of 12. He was 5 of 12 for 51 yards. He was picked off five times and did not throw a touchdown pass. His only touchdown came early in the game on a three-yard jaunt. For Julius Walton, it was a frustrating day for Julius Walton. He carried the ball the majority of times for the Red Wolves and was really not able to do much damage. They gave the ball to him first and second down. When he was able to get purchase and gain 3-4 yards on first and second down, it worked out well for the Red Wolves. But then they had to go up top on second and third and long, and that's where Pappas really found himself in trouble. As Julius Walton had 14 carries for 55 yards during the game and really worked very hard, but it was all for naught. He also had a fumble late in the game to go with the five picks from Peyton Pappas. If you're looking for the defensive player of the game, hey, we got him for you. Let me tell you something. That guy's name is A.J. Brasher. A.J. Brasher back there in the defensive backfield picks off the ball three times. Twice for Peyton Pappas, once picks off Marquez Hunter. Actually, Peyton Pappas with four interceptions. Marquez Hunter throws the one on the halfback option. And A.J. Brasher picks off three and recovers a fumble. So the final score here from Hillsboro, the Panthers of Orange, under the tutelage of Pat Moser, moved to 7-0, 3-0 in the newly minted 3A North Carolina Big 8 Conference with a 59-7 victory over the Red Wolves of Cedar Ridge. For Alex Curley, back in the studio, for Hagan Patrick handling spotting and stats today. Thank you for joining us for the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. Once again, turn over to chapelboro.com for the Merritts Double and check the remainder of that Carrboro-Bartlett-Yancey game. But thank you for joining us for the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. Good evening, everybody.